Every Sunday night at 11 o'clock, you can hear music, humor, and talk. Dave makes you laugh, and he makes the time fly. 60 minutes of Dave's gone by, 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 Dave's gone by. Since 2002, Dave Lefkowitz has hosted the coolest, nuttiest talk show on local radio, with sketches, commentary, and celebrity guests. Sunday nights at 11 on this station. 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. Yeah! Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every cover of day. Whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Damerhood. Welcome, everybody, on this November 11th, Veterans Day 2007, to the 246th episode of Dave's Gone By, the Palace of Athena episode, which I will explain momentarily as soon as I introduce myself, Dave Lefkowitz, and my guest co-host, as usual, Jeffrey Goodman.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff.
And I would just like to add our sentiments, too, that we thank all the veterans out there.
Yeah, we do.
On Veterans Day.
Whatever your thoughts about the Iraq War or any war in general, no, because I'm for it. I like killing. But, I'm not for it. Of course not. But we got to thank the people who go out there.
And risk their lives for us day after day.
Or gave their lives. Well, that's more for Memorial Day, but it's both.
Yeah.
So if you're a veteran of any kind and you're listening to this program...
Thank you very much. Thank you
very much.
That's the best thing that everyone's ever done for us.
And if you're listening to this program, we know that you've had residual problems from your service. So there you go. Anyway, speaking of residual problems, let's thank our sponsors. Yay!
Okay.
Who are...
You're at Minuteman Press.
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
Right across from...
Moments. And 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett. Minuteman Press.
Speaking of off, isn't there a publication that gives a big percentage off?
It's something like 30%. It's like
I think it's exactly $38.2%.
Something
off.
Like, yeah, off Performing Arts Insider.
The Bible of Broadway.
Now, granted, Broadway is a little helter-skelter at the moment. We'll talk about that in
but
just a
okay, while.
But that's
okay, because if you have your Performing Arts Insider, you can look and see what you're not seeing.
Very well. And we should have that as the slogan of the next issue. Here's what you're not seeing. Performing Arts Insider. Find out more about it. See,
but
the magazine goes
but you
on.
Know what's good? They what's can
good?
All the, they list everything on Off-Broadway, too, yeah. So that they're all running.
So, yeah, it's still a very, very handy and useful magazine, even if Broadway's on strike.
And as long as Broadway is on strike, you know what people could do?
What's that?
Get a mortgage.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. If you've got the money, you're not spending $120 on a theater ticket, you can save up for a mortgage at MortgagesRock.com. Good segue there. And MortgagesRock.com also teaches you how to give your friends and neighbors mortgages as well. It's all there at...
MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com.
And once you get that house and the mortgage,
uh-huh.
You know what you're totally ready for?
What are we ready for?
A party!
Yeah!
You can have a party with fancy schmancy balloons.
And fancy schmancy, what do you guys do at fancy schmancy?
We're party decorators.
Yeah.
We only decorate the most fabulous parties in town.
With what?
With balloons and other centerpieces. We do all sorts of theme parties, bar and bat mitzvahs, sweet 16s. We'll do a wedding. We'll have a doggy mitzvah if you want.
Have you ever done a doggy mitzvah?
No.
Oh!
Wouldn't that be great, though?
Yes. I mean, I've seen that on TV, on one of these pet shows where the guy had a dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was pretty horrible, fantastic.
Did the dog bark the Torah?
You should see what he did to the pointer. I don't know what that means. Well, it was a German pointer, but you know.
He was very attached to the rabbi.
But anywho, what's the number of...
That would be 516-797-3229. Call Fancy Schmancy Balloons and ask for me, what was my name?
Jeff Goodman at Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229.
And if people listen to Dave's Gone By, Dave, how much should I give them off?
How's 15%?
15% is pretty good.
Is that a little much, or is it good?
No, that's fine.
Until when? What's the deadline for this?
End of the month.
End of the month. From now until November 30th.
Just sign that contract, and you get 15% off.
And Jeff writes are good to begin with, and he has helium. So there you go.
That's right. Yes, the helium shortage, not a fancy-spancy, strangely enough.
If you need helium.
We got it.
Jeff has the helium. Yay!
But you can't breathe it in.
Why not?
It's dangerous.
Is it really?
Yeah, of course.
I thought it was harmless. You just take a little in, your voice changes, who cares?
Dave, you're not breathing in oxygen, which your body needs.
For a moment.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's not like you're going into a helium chamber for 2 hours.
And also, people who inhale directly from the tank could burst their lungs.
Really?
Oh, God, there's like almost 3,000 pounds of pressure there. Or your little alveoli will be like little balloons going pop, pop, pop. And then it's happened. And then they die from asphyxiation because you can't breathe.
You know, I hate to say this, but my wife's father's friend was inebriated at one point, and he was with friends and somebody. This is years and years ago. And they were at, I guess it was a gas station, and this is a true story, and they came across the thing where you blow up your tires and your air.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be a real hoot if I put this up my tush? Yeah, he was inebriated, apparently. It was not really a hoot.
Fill her up.
Yeah, and died.
What, he did?
Yeah, he died. Exploded.
He died?
Yeah. He put this thing in. It was, as you said, thousands of pounds of pressure going right into his, you know, his hoo-ha. Yeah.
He died?
Yes, he did. But he got a lot of extra miles. Yeah, no, sad story. I'm just, yeah. I know. It's tragic and yet funny at the same time.
He burst his intestines.
He burst his intestines open, yes. Oh, man. I wonder, can you do a party with that theme?
What?
We were talking about Jeff's theme parties. Like, he did an Amazing Race theme this past weekend. So
which was fabulous. It was just great.
Can you have a burst intestines theme?
Sure.
Just have, serve the food raw.
No, what you do is... You just, it's sausage in the middle of the party, and then, like, hammer. Okay, here comes your meal.
Well, actually, you get the balloon animal guy to do that. Yeah, he has these long things, and he pops them, but he fills them with, like, you know, red dye or something.
Oh, yeah, because everyone loves having red dye put oil on their clothes.
No, that's my kind of party. Like Carrie. People just running around screaming in misery. That's a party. It's not really a party unless someone dies.
Did we tell you what we're doing for your birthday? We're throwing a prom. Would you like to come?
Oh, yeah.
John Travolta will be there,
too. But you can't have a bucket of animal blood. It has to be feces. If I walk in...
No, it has
feces
to be blood
bucket.
With that one big glob going over your left eye.
Yeah, okay. Anywho.
But then your house will have to implode on itself and sink into the ground.
No, I like my house. Plus, I still have 20 years on the mortgage there.
Don't you remember the end? The house went into the ground.
Vaguely, and yeah.
And the girl was dreaming, and the hand came out.
The hand came out, of course. Everybody remembers the hand coming out. Yes. All right, well, we don't have to go. I don't have the budget to do that kind of party, but the bucket of excrement.
So for your next birthday, you give me permission. Wait, are you giving me permission to dump a bucket of excrement on your head for your next birthday?
If you do it with taste. If you do it well. Or maybe actually, you know, my wife and I are having our 10th anniversary,
you know,
coming up.
I think, okay, Chris will love that.
two buckets.
No, I won't do it to her, but for you. I think we should have a radio contest. Whoever calls in with the best idea for Dave's birthday party will be able to dump a bucket of excrement on his head with me on his birthday.
Well, the thing is, the bucket has to be plastic or very light. So I don't want to get hurt by it, but I don't mind being
covered
with poo.
Oh, no, we're not even going to... The bucket will never hit your head, because we're just going to turn it over and plop it right on you. Now, when is your birthday, Dave?
You think I'm telling you after that?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's next week.
Nicely done.
Isn't your birthday November 18th?
No. I won't even be around here. I'll be in San Francisco.
When is your birthday?
January. I'm an Aquarius.
January what?
With my feces rising. I'm not going to say on the air.
January 3rd, we're going to dump a bucket.
January 3rd, okay. Well, anyway.
No, it's New Year's Eve.
I need to...
Happy New Year! Here's a bucket of feces for Dave.
Well, you know, it would be memorable.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I mean, all these people, they're going through New York, there's confetti falling on them. Imagine.
We can get drunk and puke and feces. We'll just pass the bucket at Times Square.
Wow.
And then we'll let it wait for a couple of days, because that'll be really nice.
And the people listening to this program right now, what are they doing? What's wrong with these people? This used to be such a nice show. Well, anyway, it was.
No, it's never been a nice show. We're always in the neighborhood, Dave.
That's true. Well, I'm going to dump a bucket of music on you right now.
I don't want to hear any music. I like talking about feces.
Well, do you want to talk about Broadway?
Yes.
So we have to take a commercial, and then we're going to talk about Broadway, and then we've got Athena Reif coming up after that. So don't go away. I promise we're going to clean things up just a little bit.
A little handy wipe needed.
Well, oh, really? Oh, yeah, I didn't realize you were that excited. We'll be right back after this message. Oh, I just got a phone call from my wife, Joyce, and she wants to hold the bucket.
No problem.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, Inside Broadway, from completely classless humor, we go to the class, the grace, the beauty of Broadway. Except it's class dismissed. Ladies and gentlemen, what we've been worrying would happen and warned would happen for the past few weeks has come to pass. As of Saturday morning, the stage managers for three quarters...
Stage hands.
Excuse me, that's, you're right, stage hands for three quarters of the shows on Broadway have walked off, and they're on strike.
And mostly all the popular shows.
Well, yeah, well, except Young Frankenstein. We were talking...
And the Poppins.
Mary Poppins is very popular.
I almost said the Poppins B word, but...
Yeah, no, actually, there are very few shows on Broadway, at least at this moment, that are in particular trouble. There are a lot of them were doing pretty darn well. Even the plays were doing okay for plays, especially if they were in institutional settings, which are not affected by the strike. So, but as we both were saying in the pre-show to this, Mel Brooks has to be the luckiest man alive because, yes, Young Frankenstein opened and the reviews were all over the place. Some people loved it, some hated it, a lot of people in the middle. And he really needed to build on the word of mouth and to keep it going. Well, go figure. Young Frankenstein is in one of those theaters not affected by the strike. So if people were deciding yes or no, or maybe they should see Wicked instead, or Phantom of the Opera, well, they're not. They're going to go see Young Frankenstein, or Mary Poppins.
Or Xanadu.
Xanadu is still running. That's what else is running?
Cymbeline.
Well, that's anything in an institutional theater. Cymbeline is Lincoln Center.
Right. And Mauritius. Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. Mauritius, Pygmalion.
Uh-huh. What else?
The Ritz.
Oh, the Ritz, right.
The one you should really go see is the Ritz.
Ritz is really good, yeah.
25th Annual Spelling Bee.
Uh-huh. And by the way...
And San Antonio Young Frankenstein.
I should mention that this was the week that 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee has announced its closing date. And so they're lucky enough to keep running now, but they are going to be closing in the middle of January. So if you haven't seen it, it's a really funny book. I don't think the score is up to William Finn's usual standards, but certainly worth a look. 25th Annual... And if you're going to go see something else during the holiday season, you might as well see this, because it's there. And along with Xanadu, it's running.
You know who I feel really bad for?
Yeah.
The people came to see Duran Duran. It's not even a Broadway show.
I know. It's so hysterical. Well, were there any people who came to see Duran Duran?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It has quite an advance.
Well, not anymore. They got to give it all back. And because they're a limited run. Duran Duran is doing this concert in one of the Broadway theaters, and they were only supposed to be there for a couple of days. I mean, maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
And they're getting shut out because, again, they're in a house where you have stagehands moving scenery around, and they can't get up. They can't do the show. They can't do the concert. Oh, well.
It's just unbelievable. It's like...
Well, it's not unbelievable. Broadway has struck before.
Yes. Well, I just really don't think... I think the union's in a lot of trouble this time because...
Why don't you, as succinctly as you can, explain what the issue is here.
The issue is job security as far as the union is concerned because they want to keep these minimums. They have to hire a certain minimum number of stagehands to move in and out a show and run a show, even if they're not needed. So...
Which the average American person just does not, like me, does not get. I mean,
and
who doesn't want to be paid for not working?
But
we understand the concept of an owner, of a manager, of the boss, not wanting to pay someone who does nothing, who doesn't need to
and
be there.
And basically the two sides are talking, and the union saying, oh, we're not fighting for the producers. The producers are fighting for the second and third house. We're just fighting to save our first house, which seems like a good... thing. Until the producers came out and they say, this is like hiring a contractor for your home, and it's a job that needs 10 people, and the contractor says, well, you have to hire 20 people.
Right, right. But the thing is, this argument, this logic that the union has used has worked before.
I don't think it's going to work.
We call it feather begging, but it worked with when they were talking with the musicians union. And the musicians were saying, hey, even if there's no piccolo in the whole score, you've got to hire that piccolo player to sit there.
No, it's not that. It wasn't with the piccolo. Certain theaters had certain minimum number of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm wondering how that went with, do you know how it went with Sweeney Todd and with Company?
No, I don't.
Where the actors played the music on stage. So were they actually counted as musicians, or did they have to have just musicians sitting backstage?
It's a good question. I don't know how they work.
Because they've done that a lot, like when they did I Love My Wife, and they had like an on-stage orchestra of four or five people.
Yeah.
They had people backstage just sitting around. They just showed up.
Yeah. It can also depend on the actual Broadway house, the size of the house.
It does. Yeah. It goes by the number of seats. But as far as this goes, they have to hire a certain number. And I do think the producers are going to get their point out because people can understand. The way they put it was perfect. They're saying, it's like hiring a contractor. And you could do the work with 10 people, but no, you have to hire
20. I totally understand why that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed that the musicians union kind of got away with it.
But you see, the musicians union never struck.
Well, they came close.
They threatened.
Right.
But they also gave up. Also, remember the pre-recorded music thing?
Yeah.
They gave up on that.
Which is a big,
So there was some sort of settlement. Because really, you could just say, okay, it's a play with music now.
Well, one wonders if technology has made it that we need fewer stagehands than we used to.
It's absolutely, yeah.
So maybe that's what they're fighting against. They're saying, hey, it's going to come to the point with Broadway that it's going to be so mechanized that you're only going to need two stagehands to run a show. That's too bad.
Why not learn how to run those mechanized? Because that's what stagehand is now doing. They're running the electronics.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, this is what happens in things. If your job becomes, you know, outdated... Yeah. You know, what do we do with all the with the blacksmiths? You know?
Well, the one thing, we can't send Broadway to Malaysia. It still has to be done here.
Yeah, but I mean, what about all the blacksmiths? Should we sit there and we still should pay people for being blacksmiths, even though we now no longer have horses and buggies?
Yeah. You know? Well, you still have the occasional blacksmith, but there's only one in a 20-mile radius.
Yeah, but the blacksmith union says we have to have 40 in each city.
Okay.
It's like...
I know. Anyway, we have to move on in Inside Broadway. Just a little bit of news. First of all...
Dave, how many shows didn't you see on Saturday?
I missed, well...
Three.
I was supposed to see three. One of them was off-Broadway, and my little stupid subway problem for missing it. But no, I was supposed to see The Seafarer on Saturday, which was supposed to open this week, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which opened the day before I was supposed to see it. And Grinch was the first show, because there was an 11 o'clock matinee. And that
was
also the official opening. No?
They're going to lose more than anyone else because they have more performances per week.
Wow. Oh, that's right. You know,
it's going to be hard for them to make that. Well, I'm sure the producers took insurance on this, too.
Oh, not probably all did. But anyway, I want to move on to different unrelated Broadway news.
Okay.
Assuming Broadway's up and running, there was an announcement of an upcoming production happening in the spring. It's been in the breeze for weeks and weeks and weeks. Finally, it is official. There's going to be a new Cat on a Hot Tin Roof coming up with an all-black cast. It's kind of the Black Cat coming
to town. And directed by?
Debbie Allen.
Unbelievable.
From Fame and Sweet Charity.
Like, we really need this new Cat on a Hot Tin.
I know. They just did it with Ashley Judd, what was it, 5 years ago? And it's not William's best play either. It's kind of all over the place. But hey... Maybe it'll have some sparks.
Is that taking over the Circle and Square?
That's at the Broadhurst.
What's at the Broadhurst then? Oh. The Broadhurst has...
What?
Les Mis.
Well, Les Mis is going to close.
Right.
Les Mis is closing in January. So that's the one announcement of a new show, assuming Broadway is up and running by then, which I assume it is. Let's get this very quickly, because I wanted to actually do a review or two. I don't think I'll have time. But the League of American Theaters... came out, of all things, of all weeks, with a demographic report about who goes to Broadway. And they said that in 2006-2007 season, tourists made up, take a guess of a percentage of how much of Broadway tourists...
83%.
No, it's not that high. 65, which is higher than I thought.
Oh, no, it's 65% of tickets much higher.
Sold to tourists.
Oh, by the way, I just found out something.
What?
For all of you people who are holding Duran Duran tickets,
yeah,
they're actually playing their final Broadway shows at Roseland.
Oh, how clever. So, yeah, it's a concert. I guess they can move it wherever.
So they'll be picketing a place that's not really going to care.
Interesting. Just want to get through also other things on this league list. The international visitors to Broadway are back up to where they were before 9/11, which is kind of nice. It also helps that our dollar sucks against every other currency at the moment.
Including Canada.
Well, especially Canada.
How are we lower than the Canadian dollar?
Please. The average age of the theater goer, the Broadway theater goer, is 41.2 years old. I feel so sad because I'm finally actually older. I'm now in the older skew, and I used to be the younger demographic. But 41.2 years old is the average age of a theater goer. And how things change. Only 11% of people buy tickets by telephone now. Internet purchases have grown quite a bit, of course.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the average theater goer goes to Broadway 5 times a year. Which
really?
Is a little more than I thought. Playgoers go more often. They go 7 times, and people go to musicals about 4 times a year.
Really?
And word of mouth is still the strongest marketing tool, although reviews and articles help for plays more than musicals, which makes sense. All these things came out of the League Demographics report. Got to do a quick commercial, then I'll be back very quickly to review The Runner Stumbles right after this. The best Broadway magazine just got better. More listings, more contact numbers, more inside information in Performing Arts Insider. And not just Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off, dance, cabaret, opera. As one dramaturg put it, Performing Arts Insider is a gold mine of information for the theater professional. 21 times a year at your doorstep, the whole world of theater, with 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com or call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. Well, there is no Broadway the best way. A little bit. There's still some shows running. But I think it's only apt that we review a Broadway, off-Broadway show on this edition of Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By. It's The Runner Stumbles, a revival of a show that isn't often done, although it still pretty much works. The play is by Mylon Skit and goes back to the 1970s. The TACT Theater is doing it off-Broadway, and it's a pretty intense play. It's all about this priest who is accused of murder because this very Sound of Music-y kind of nun has come to his parish, and she's made all this trouble, and she's very outspoken, but very charming, but very outspoken. And he's had some interesting feelings for her, and she's had some mutual feelings for him, and now there's a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney trying to get to why she wound up dead. And so we backtrack into that, and it's all this backstory of how he met her, the problems she caused at the chapel, and his great crisis of faith as to whether what he's doing has any meaning whatsoever. And it's pretty well done. It grabs you to a certain extent. Mark L. Montgomery plays the priest, and he plays him with a lot of intensity, but at some point it's so much almost mad intensity that, A, it's good because it makes you believe he could have killed this woman, but also he's supposed to be really charismatic and a thorn in the side of his superiors. And you wonder, was this guy ever really liked by some of the other churches that he was shuttled around in? He just seems too weird and strange and nasty. So I wonder about that element of the performance. Ashley West plays Sister Rita, and she's really good. She balances this kind of chirpy, how do you solve a problem like this nun, with being, once the gloves are off, going passionate and also going just a little bit, like, you know, shocked at what is facing her in this parish. So I don't give it a really strong recommendation, but it's a watchable, occasionally intense piece of theater, and worth a look. It's good melodramatic stuff, although the ending has a little bit of the murder mystery horror genre that I just don't quite buy. I'm not going to say who done it. If you want to know who done it, go see The Runner Stumbles at TACT off-Broadway as we leave inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. You know, when I think of sexy young singers, I first think of Five Schwinkel, who was a guest on this program just a couple of months ago. But there are others besides him, and one of them is with us in the studio. I didn't even get a smile or a laugh out of anybody in the studio from that joke. That's just sad right there. But
delayed.
At the WGBB studios with me in the neighborhood is indeed a sexy and talented young singer, probably a little more out there in the folk punk, post-punk movement than pretty much anybody we've had here. I mean, we've had folks like Jill Sobule. Well, we've had Reckless Eric, so that was pretty out there way back when. But this is new stuff. This is Athena Reich. Is it Reich or Reich?
Reich.
Reich, like.
Well, no, but it's a German Jewish name. It's a Jewish name.
Oh, you're Jewish.
Well, half. That half.
Which half?
Thankfully, the German half.
The half that complains. No, I don't know what that means.
But Reich. Well, you can pronounce it anyway, but I just say Reich.
Okay.
Like bike.
And like, is that how your parents pronounced it, or?
Yeah, my dad, but my grandmother pronounced it Reich, and people before that pronounced it Reich, and it's just, it's confusing. It's an ongoing debate.
And did you ever think of changing, or did people look at you with that last name and
they always say, oh, Reich as in Hitler?
Yeah, well.
And I say, no, it's actually a really German Jewish name, and then they get really quiet.
Well, and are you part Greek? Is the Athena from that?
No, I'm not Greek. I'm actually, my mother is Mennonite. From Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Amish country. And my dad is Jewish. And then they met in college and they ran away to Canada together. And then much to their disappointment, I ran back away to the States.
All right, this is already, like, wow. A Mennonite.
Yes.
Mennonites, I guess, are allowed to go to college? I don't know.
Well, only
about.
Because she was going to become a missionary. That was her, like, front.
Yeah.
And then when she got there, she thought, wow, there's a whole world out there.
There's a missionary position, among other things, but, you know.
Of course.
No,
but not, let's not think about that when it comes to my mother.
mine neither. Yeah, it's still a virgin as far as I know.
But she decided not to become a missionary and marry a Jew instead and go to Canada and become a professor.
Now, she had to escape to Canada to get away just from her family? Is that the deal? Or?
Well, kind of. I mean, psychologically, you know, a border helps.
Yeah. No, it's
not. Your family has to go through customs to get to you.
But how did you wind up, or they wind up back in America?
Well, just me. I came. Because I was born with this dual citizenship. And,
She's waving at our public access camera.
There's
here,
a camera, but it's like, I have to look the other way to see it. Say it, so
wait,
I thought I'd include
this. Isn't she cute, guys?
The cutie people
and girls.
In
Sorry.
The audience. Yeah. But hello, radio people back. So, what was the question?
I don't know. So you were an adult when you got back from
Canada. After college in the Canada, I moved, because I'm a performer, and I wanted to come here, and I wanted to get away from my family.
Oh, okay. Was it a troubled childhood? Or?
Yes. Can't you tell by my music?
I can tell by some of the album covers. By the way, she has a few CDs out, including Stranger Things Have Happened.
Yes, they
and, have. And let's see. Well, actually, I should hold this up for the camera. Athena Under Attack. We'll talk about that, which is a response to 9/11 in music, which is always great fun. And then Athena Reich Live.
Stories from the Road.
But if you look at this, I mean, this picture, on which, of course, you cannot see because it's so far away.
But if you go to my website,
and you're on the radio, yeah. What's the website?
AthenaReich.com. AthenaReich.com.
Okay, Athena, like you would normally spell it, Reich,
yeah.
Like third,
right.
.com. And that's where you can get the albums and find out more about her. But
again,
you see the covers on these things, you would not have any idea that the person that I'm talking to looks like she could have rolled out of Sunnybrook Farm, as a matter, you know, sort of. Kind of.
Well, my hair's longer now. I look a little different from.
Well, it's a little punky. And did you go through a punk phase?
Yes. So they tell me.
Okay.
No, I didn't know that I was punk. People told me I was punk. I just had short hair and made music, and I don't know. People said, you're punk. I said, okay. I said, I hate punk. They said, that's
did
so
you
punk
really?
That you hate punk.
Wait. Did you hate the music or just that ridiculous lifestyle and
the
trappings of
it? No, I don't really like the music. I've since acquired a taste for punk, but I didn't like the music. I thought it was too loud, and they were like, but that's what you do sometimes.
So what was the music that influenced you when you were
Well, so many influences. I mean, of course, Ani DiFranco is a big influence. But, you know, everybody. I mean, I listened to the Indigo Girls, and I listened to Jesus Christ Superstar rock musicals, and I listened to Keith Jarrett, jazz piano player, and I listened to Eminem, and I listened to everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty varied.
Was that from the beginning, or were you trained classically at all? Did you take piano
lessons,
that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I started at 4 years old. My mom taught me classical piano, and then I started singing in a church choir at 8, and then I taught myself guitar at 16.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then I got a degree in music.
Where?
Montreal, at Concordia University.
Oh, so it's a Canadian degree. It doesn't really actually count.
No one understands that here.
Are you preferred on guitar, or do you prefer piano?
I prefer
home?
Piano because it's my main instrument, but people love guitar. I mean, people in this continent, they're so guitar-oriented because of bluegrass, things like that. Folk, people really relate to it. So I do it sometimes, plus it's portable.
Right, guitar gives you that, but you can go play pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you asked me
good,
when
but
we were...
I love
yeah.
piano. I mean, that's what I love.
Yeah. And when we were going to have a thing on the show, one of her first questions was, well, you have a piano, a keyboard. I'm like, no, we barely have a microphone in this place.
Right.
So, do you remember your first song?
That I wrote?
Yeah.
Actually, it's on Stranger Things Have Happened. I was 16 years old, and it's called Merry-Go-Round, and I had a dream. And that song is The Dream.
Little ape girl, never stop to let the dirty men touch you where you don't want. Stay on the merry-go-round and round, round and round, round and round, round and round. Listen to my voice, it'll soothe your hurt. Can I ride on a horse that goes up and down on the merry-go-round? Like a body pressing down on my baby, baby, round and down, twirl and twirl, with a tear, round and down. I wish I could go back, I wish I could stop that, give a mother kick and run away.
Long Island, you're listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB 1240 AM. Listen, people, it's worth it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and what we're calling sort of the Fourth Reich version of the show. I'm going to say Third Reich. How many Reichs are there? How far back can you train?
Well, my family's been in this country for five generations, in this continent.
Oh.
So they go way back.
Okay.
My grandfather's name was Adolf Reich.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He was a tyrant. I mean, he used to, like, he was, like...
What?
Well, he would beat my dad with a belt, and he was very abusive. He was very scary, and his name was Adolf Reich, but he was Jewish.
Wow. And were you escaping from that? Were your parents somewhat abusive
in
the forcing to bake pretzels in a Mennonite way? Or,
right,
no,
pretzels and ice cream, yeah.
No, were your parents...
Yeah, yeah.
What, yeah?
What?
Were they?
Were they abusive? Yes.
In a physical?
Yeah, I experienced abuse from different, my parents and people, babysitters and things like that. All different kinds of people in my family experienced physical and sexual and emotional abuse. The sexual was the worst. It's the most ongoing. Sometimes touch and sometimes through harassment, a lot of inappropriate behavior.
With relatives we're talking about.
Yeah, right? Father, brother, things like
that. Whoa,
yeah.
All right.
So Merry-Go-Round, which you guys just heard, actually was I it was the day I like the one of the first times I went to therapy when I was 15, I started dreaming a lot, and that song Merry-Go-Round is directly from it's about that. It's about, you know, the reconnecting with your little girl and seeing what she's been through and trying to reclaim the innocence and the joy again.
I have not been able to reconnect with my little girl. I've tried. It's just not happening. But are you estranged from your folks now?
I'm estranged from my father, but I'm close with my mom.
Okay.
Although it's complicated.
Is she still in Canada? Or
yes, she's in Canada. So I needed a border there.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
oh, now I'm a lot more clear, actually. Yeah, I thought we were just getting away from, you know, the Mennonites who were children of the Corns. Or
right.
No offense to any Mennonites who might be listening.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very mixed. I had a lot of wonderful things in my childhood, but a lot of, like, trauma.
Right, yeah.
Ongoing trauma.
How old are you now, if you don't mind lying?
I'm 31.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look a day over 28. So, what that means. So, where are you musically now? I mean, from when you started writing songs, and not just, like, as a kid, but when you did Merry-Go-Round, how have you evolved, would you say, as a songwriter?
I've evolved a lot. I guess when I first started writing, my first album is called A Sly Sardonic Grin, and you can still buy it on my website. And it's a lot of spoken word and music. And when I listen to it, I kind of want to throw up because it's like really intense, and it's like bah, like here's everything, and people love it, you know, especially young people love it because it's like bah, you know, all in your face,
people, yeah, right.
All the rage, all of the angst there, you know, no holds barred, And then I made Stranger Things Have Happened, which is actually some old songs and some new songs, and it's with a full band, and it's awesome because there's, like, violins and horns and string sections. It's beautiful, you know, instrumentally, arrangement-wise. And then I made a rock opera musical called Athena Under Attack, which actually deals with trauma and issues of abuse and experiencing September 11th, but from the perspective of someone who's already experienced abuse.
Right.
And how September 11th is a trauma for all of us, and how it's similar, the similarities to, like, being a kid and being abused and feeling that unsafety and that violence. And so the musical shows the connections between war and abuse and domestic violence.
I really didn't even want to get into this, but where were you?
On September
11th? Yeah.
I was in Queens,
and
so I went on the roof, and I watched it happen, and I met two people, and I spent, who were in my building, and they had, because they had TV, I spent the day with these strangers. And then that's what happens in the musical. There's three characters, and they meet on this rooftop in Queens, and then they spend the date together, and they all have very different reactions to the event. Like, Athena, the main character Athena, based on me, I guess, obviously.
It would be, wouldn't
right?
it? Yeah.
She, you know, has all this past trauma, so it's a trigger for her. So she's, like, almost losing her mind and feeling dissociative and, like, freaking out, but kind of, you know. But also has this feeling of, we can't go to war, like, I can't stand another war, this, like, need for peace. And then the character Sam, actually, they've all been traumatized in different ways. He's been abused, like, physically by his dad, and his dad fought in Vietnam, so he's, like, but he hasn't dealt with it, so he wants to go to war, and he's triggered the same way, but he wants to fight and go for it, and it's this whole, and more stuff happens in it, and so it's just, it's about people getting triggered, because when I saw it, I don't know. It seemed to me like watching George Bush speak, he seemed a little bit excited, like a little bit of a thrill behind what he was doing. It, and that just is a bit of, like, if you've been traumatized and then you experience another trauma, you get a little bit of adrenaline rush. You get, like, almost like a thrill. Hmm. And so I just thought that
hair of the dog,
some of our leaders were, like, triggered, and there was a lot of trauma that was going on, and people were, you know, not talking about it and, like, deciding to go on war, maybe not on really good.
Is there a song, a representative song, that maybe we could hear from Athena Under Attack?
Yeah, definitely. Let me think. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
God, here, hold it up for me.
Sure.
Do it.
Holding it. Oh, I like the sound of that hitting the window, whatever that.
God, there's so many. Like, I don't know. You could do, like.
Concentrate, Freedom and Democracy.
Do Concentrate.
Yeah, okay.
Concentrate.
Let's hear Concentrate.
Concentrate. Concentrate. People are dying, children are crying. Concentrate. Concentrate. Crack an egg on your head, let the yolk run down, let the yolk run down, let the yolk run down. Crack an egg on your head, let the yolk run down. Concentrate. Concentrate. People are dying, children are crying.
Concentrate. Concentrate.
Stab a knife in your back, let the blood run down, let the blood run down, let the blood run down. Stab a knife in your back, let the blood run down.
Concentrate. Concentrate.
People are dying, children are crying, souls are rising.
Concentrate. Concentrate.
Crash a plane through your heart.
Hey, Long Island, this is Athena Reich. You are listening to Days Gone By, WGBB 1240 AM. Listen, people, it's worth it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We've been hearing the music and the talk of Athena Reich, the maker of such CDs as Stranger Things Have Happened, and we had just heard a song from Athena Under Attack. That was her rock opera based on her feelings after 9/11. Has this been performed as a concert opera, or is
yes,
it just on
as
disc?
A play.
Where?
It was taken to the Toronto Fringe Festival, and it was performed in New York at the 14th Street Y Theater, and it's part of Point of View Productions, Producers Club, and
oh yeah, okay,
Theater for the New City. Yeah. So right now I'm making a new album. It's my fifth album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Little Girl Dreams, and it's got 15 songs on it.
Oh my! Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel
you're going
like
the Tori Amos route. It's going to be 80 minutes long. And, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel that my songwriting's really developed. I feel that I've matured. Before it was more like bah! And then now it's more reflective, and I've just I feel like I've grown up, and it's just
and
more reflective, less in your face, and I don't know. I've been working with this songwriting circle in New York for the past few years.
Oh, cool.
Lorraine Farrow heads it. She's like this amazing multi-platinum hit songwriter, and she's this amazing, generous woman. And so I've been working in her circles and developing my craft more and more. And so all those songs on that CD have been incredibly, you know, crafted and critiqued.
Well, what's something that she taught you or that you learned from the circle, very specific?
Well, just it's all about communication. So if people don't get it, you got to change it, you know. So sometimes as an artist, people think, well, you don't get it, you're dumb. Actually, no, like, depends who you want your audience to be. I mean, if you're writing a pop song, it's got to be for everybody's going to understand it. So if I don't get it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If people say, I don't get it, then you got to, like, work on it. I mean, that's probably the most thing that I work on doing.
Speaking of work, is this your full-time career thing? Do you also have a job to pay the bills, or how do you explain
it? It depends. When I tour, that's my full-time thing, music, and right now I'm not touring. So I teach music. I have private students, music, guitar, piano lessons, and I also go into schools and do songwriting with children and adults.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have to get to the personal stuff, the deep, dark sort of whatever.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
No, keep the smile on the cat.
Here we go.
Go with a big, great smile. So, who is Athena Reich seeing or not seeing or not traumatizing or...
You mean in terms of a relationship?
In terms of a relationship, yeah.
This girl here, come over.
Yay!
This is my new girlfriend. Her name is Annika.
Hello, Annika.
Hello.
How'd you guys meet? Was it on the road? Was it locally in a songwriter's workshop? Or?
Wait, look at the camera. Is she cute? She's adorable. Wait, you can say something to say in here. When we meet, we met on the internet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that's where you got to meet now, if you're serious.
And how long have you...
Not long, just like, I don't know, 2 months.
Oh, well, congratulations. Is it serious? You can talk into the...
Very serious.
Oh, that's lovely. That's right.
And she doesn't like she's joking, but it is serious.
See, now what the radio folks are missing is some serious tongue-kissing action right now. It's really fabulous.
Dave.
I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing here.
I have, like, private concerts, and she's an amazing, amazing musician.
And are you a musician, too, or what do you do?
I'm a lover of music, but no, I'm a teacher, sixth grade math.
Oh, very cool. In the city or Queens? Or
Harlem.
Wow, that's kind of, how is that?
I love it. She works hard.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
Days.
I'm sorry?
12-hour days, she works.
And are they good? I mean, that's
good.
Such a terrible thing to say, but...
Because they're good.
Yeah.
And you have to just learn how to motivate them in the right way. They want to be good.
Yeah.
They just cut.
And are the parents there for them, or is it really a struggle?
Some. I mean,
good.
It just depends. like anywhere. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. I mean, the whole spectrum.
Cool. Cool. Well, good. Well, congratulations. I think that's lovely. I think that, you know, don't hit each other and don't abuse each other.
No, we're not. We don't. It's good.
Good.
It's very good.
Yeah, you seem glowing. You seem so happy and, you know.
We are.
I mean, you went to the beach in the middle of October.
Went to the beach today. What could you say?
Probably last weekend we'll be able to
it's
do
horrible.
That. So, okay, enough of the lovebird. Well, all right.
Okay.
A little smiling, a little hugging,
yeah.
little nice touching, which, you know, we can save for later. I can sell that. But,
don't
so
get dirty.
What's the future, not that part of it, but the future, do you think, musically and
music,
anything
well,
else?
I'm also an actress, and I just did a run of a show called Love Sucks in the New York Musical Theater Festival. It got
okay.
a lot of attention. We were in the Village Voice and, you know, backstage and a lot of reviews. So, I mean, the past month was dedicated. I mean, I'm in the city auditioning and doing and performing as an actress. So we just did that. It was a big deal. It's a punk rock musical, and we all played our own instruments. So I played electric guitar, and, you know, it was awesome. And, you know, there's buzz about it getting picked up, so we'll see.
All right. Well, best of luck on that. Best of luck on all the music and all the other
but
stuff.
But I'm working on my fifth album right now. That's what I've got to plug that. Right. My producer is Cynthia Daniels, who lives in East Hampton, so I take this Long Island train all the way out there when I work with her. And she's won Emmys and Grammys, and she's, like, really great. And she's actually this, like, never mind.
No, please, you brought it up. What?
Well, I don't know. Nothing. Okay.
Come on. No.
No. It was a mistake.
Okay.
Anyway, she's awesome. And so we're working on that CD right now.
On a label or what's the...
No, it's totally independent.
Cool.
And I'll just be like mail, you know, just selling it on independently distributed.
Including AthenaReich.com. Why don't you spell that out for us one more time?
AthenaReich. C like cat h.com.
That's the place to find out all about your albums
That's
and your
right.
work and your appearances as well.
And actually, like, I've done a lot of booking my own tours and stuff like that, and I'm giving in November I'm giving a music marketing workshop as part of the Songwriters Guild. So people can find that out on my website.
Oh,
you sign up for the workshop. It's November 1st and November 8th.
Where? In Manhattan?
In Manhattan, in Midtown, at the Songwriters Guild office, which is, you know, in Midtown, like, you know, whatever.
Bring a compass.
On my website.
People will find it somehow.
I'll go to my website, but it's all about, you know, how to just put yourself out there, guerrilla marketing style.
Well, thank you for putting yourself and your music out here in the neighborhood. It's been delightful to have AthenaReich with us, and we'll go out with one more AthenaReich tune. Do you have a
Let's go out with the Ballad of Chicken Shower. Which is a song, I had a crush on my friend, but she happened to be straight, which is not good if you're a lesbian.
Right.
It's good if you're a man.
Yeah.
And and I had a dream. A lot of my songs come from dreams. And this was a dream that she wouldn't kiss me in public. I realized, and then when I woke up from the dream, I thought, well, I didn't have a crush on her anymore because she couldn't really love me, right? And so the song is my dream, and it's called The Ballad of Chicken Shower off of Stranger Things Have Happened.
Thank you, AthenaReich.
Lie on beds of soft, but in sleep. deep. Your face contorts with desperate fear. Not here, no, not in public. Your mouth twists with disgust. This kind of love for the bedroom only, only, but size is only childish love. But I would kiss you.
Cats and dogs and tranny pets, this is Athena Reich. I'm a singer, songwriter, and actress, and you are definitely listening to Days Gone By on WGBB 1240 AM, and you just better stick on listening.
Thank you, Athena. Athena Reich, quite a personality, quite a singer. And
it's actually like she's yelling at me that I shouldn't sing.
I know, she's pretty intense. She's a lot of fun. In fact, she's so much fun, she is actually going to be back here next week. Part two with her and her friends on Dave's Gone By. See, one show with Athena Reich isn't quite enough. We need a little bit more. Also because I'm not going to be here actually live next week. So I grabbed some extra material.
Hey, so Athena, just go into the studio and knock yourself silly.
Yeah, let's have some more fun with you and your friends. Also, the rabbi will be with us next week talking about Thanksgiving.
Hey, I'm going to take the week off, okay?
Yeah. Oh, you like the rabbi now. You like his TV show.
Yes, I do.
Which airs
I was going to ask you, when does that air again?
It airs every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision, Love Long Island, the Woodbury Cable syndicate or outlet or however you want to put it. 7:30 Wednesday for Shalom Dammit. And I do apologize, and the rabbi apologizes. There was a little screw-up between us and Cablevision, so they ended up repeating the last show twice. When they were supposed to show the Halloween episode. So with any luck, people will finally see the Halloween
episode.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll see the Halloween episode 2 weeks after Halloween this coming Wednesday. And then the Thanksgiving episode is next week, so that'll be fun. So
thanks.
Don't miss Shalom,
thanks.
Dammit. Yeah.
Thanks good for that.
What's good? What? Yes.
Thanks.
Thank God for all that. And don't forget, also, if you're in the mood to watch Cablevision, you can watch Friday mornings at 7:30 and hear and see Dave's Gone By on TV, where we take some old segments of the show and we just put them up on your television with really no visuals. You're just kind of...
Well, it sounds like great TV, Dave.
Well, you know what? People are busy. They're getting dressed. They've got breakfast on the table. They're getting ready for the day. So they're not going to be sitting there necessarily watching the television. So they might as well listen to their television. And so this is kind of an audio TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although occasionally we will have some visual stuff, like I brought the camera here for recent shows, and hopefully we'll be able to show some of those segments as well. But for now, we're really dipping back into the very, very early years of the show, and just getting a couple of those shows up so people can hear them. I think it's pretty cool. Have you been watching YouTube this weekend? I've been having terrible trouble trying to upload stuff. If anybody out there, I don't know what it is, but there's just this well, Dave, terrible trouble with the internet.
But I never have a problem with uploading anything.
But thank you so much. So you'll have a floppy disk. Anyway, thank you so much. So we're trying to get more episodes of Shalom Dammit up on YouTube, but 5 of them are there and watchable anytime at all. So if you can't see the Rabbi's show on Wednesday mornings, catch them on YouTube anytime. Also catch 2 on the Aisle anytime with Jeff and me and Charlie Gross. That's where we all review theater together. And let's see, listen to a bunch of vintage Dave's Gone By episodes anytime at theaterpod.com. That's theater with an E-R, theaterpod.com.
As opposed to theater with an R-E?
Exactly. There, I don't think they have that domain name. So they've got theaterpod, E-R, and you can hear 25 older shows of Dave's Gone By anytime you want to.
That means because you've left me out. You've once again muted me.
No, why? You're here.
No, on the older shows. I'm not on theater, E-R,
pod. No, actually you are on 1 or 2 of those episodes when you were a very rare special guest as opposed to a relentless, annoying, regular guest.
Yeah.
So, let's see.
Sad, Dave, but we'll have to kill you later.
Yeah, probably. But not before I tell everybody that Filler Up is on Thursday. Oh, no, we moved it. Filler Up is now on Saturday nights at 5:30 p.m. on WGBB, and that's just a half hour of music that I play, I talk about, I choose. Filler Up, Saturday nights, 5:30 p.m. Let's see, who haven't I thanked? Thank you, my beloved, wonderful, adorable wife, Joyce. By the way, I do want to break in for people who are waiting patiently, ever so patiently, for gospel all night till the morning. Just got a call from Ace, who will be your
hostess.
DJ tonight. She'll be your hostess tonight. Coffee, tea, or gospel. And she's running a bit late, so she won't get here until a little after 12:30. So Jeff and I will hold down the fort.
And we'll try not to curse.
We'll try not to curse. We'll try not to do terrible or say awful things. Yes. We're trying to be relatively nice. Talk about Jeff's plane flights and whatever else.
Whatever else.
Well, we can go back to talking about the strike or... You want to talk about Norman Mailer?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Amazing Race.
All right, let's start. What about The Amazing Race?
You still haven't watched it?
I've seen 1 or 2 episodes a couple of years ago.
It's amazing. It's great. It's
a bunch of people running around the world. Who cares?
Oh, please. They had to get... They did trough jumping in Amsterdam.
Did they jump over the reflecting pond?
No. They fell in muddy water, which you would have liked. There was a couple of lesbians in muddy water, too.
Yes, I would have liked. Athena Reich would have liked that, too.
So, Athena, you have to go back in time, but turn on the TV.
Play some Muddy Waters, and then jump into Muddy Waters and try and win a race. I guess everybody will get
$1 million, David.
Well, I don't care. You know, I watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for a couple of weeks, and that was cool, and then that got kind of boring. People won $1 million there.
Dave, what is your favorite television show?
Simpsons.
And followed by? Give me, like, 5 of the shows. What's your must-see TV list?
Well, unfortunately, my cable system is so limited because we don't want to pay a big cable bill every month.
Dave, I don't even have cable.
Oh, there you go. So yours is even more limited than mine. If I had regular cable, I would be watching Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the great cartoon. I mean, the cartoons are the best. I would watch Family Guy, which I can watch, but I'm never home. And those are the 3. Family Guy,
well,
Aqua Teen Simpsons.
You're certainly not home pregnant, that's for sure.
Thank you. What else?
See,
and I don't mind watching.
You glossed right over
it. I'm just glossing right over it. So, you know, and then you look like the stupid
Excellent,
one.
Excellent, David.
But when my wife will watch those crime, because there's so many of them, I'll watch them too. So there's NCIS and CSI, the regular one, although I hate the Florida one, and the New York one I don't particularly like either. The original CSI, even though they're losing Georgia Fox and God knows what the hell they're going to do with the rest of the cast next season. But I like William Peterson and... It's still a good...
How about Marge Oldenberger?
She's all right. And it was the first one, and until it became silly with the plotting and stuff like that, the whole idea was there a crime or 2 crimes per show were committed,
it's
and they're trying to
die
solve
in that show.
It. Well, people die early. And then the point is the backstory of how it could have happened, and doing that through forensics and stuff like that. When it starts to get like, someone's in terrible trouble, or this character might die, or it becomes a stupidity of that.
Do you like Cold Case?
Cold Case, I don't watch. I mean, it's probably pretty good. It's probably good as the others.
It's excellent. You know why?
Why?
It's on after The Amazing Race. Sunday at 7 o'clock. At 9 o'clock.
I do like that one.
I did watch it. Today you had a pretty good episode.
Oh, yeah.
It was Serial Killer.
So she what, she killed Rice Krispies? That's a little Hanging Youngman joke right there. Thank you. Anyway.
Go ahead, talk.
No, NCIS is good. That one, the characters are fun to watch. Have you ever seen that with Mark Harmon?
Yes.
And there's the Israeli chick, even though it's played by a Spanish actress. But, I go, there are no Jewish actresses in all of Hollywood. They couldn't get to play
an
Israeli.
Let's have a Miss Saigon moment here.
Yeah, right. What, that's a good joke. It might go over the heads of 90% of our audience here. But Miss Saigon, there was a big controversy because they hired Jonathan Pryce to play a Eurasian character when all these Asian actors were saying, come on, what, can't you for this particular role hire someone who is of that, you know, we barely get hired to begin with. Now there's a role that calls for us. Can't you use us? And it did. It shed a lot of light.
Just like Flower Drum Song all over again.
And after Jonathan Pryce left, they hired a couple. Like Francis Revivar, I think, was partially Asian or something like that. So anyway, for NCIS, they got a Spanish woman playing, but she's hot and she's good, and there's chemistry all over the place, so it's fun.
So Dave will pretend to be straight and say she's hot. Okay.
Okay. Well, don't have to pretend for her, let me tell you. But anyway, who else? What else do you watch on TV that isn't reality? What are the shows that are now on strike
Love
that
Survivor.
You would be watching?
I like my reality TV, too.
Okay.
But non-Survivor, I do like My Cold Case.
Okay.
I like Without a Trace.
So you do like, everybody watches. I haven't seen Law and Order in a long time, but those are still...
Boom, boom, boom.
I watched that one with D'Onofrio, because he's kind of...
Oh, that's now on...
He's creepy,
that's
but
now on cable, so I can't see
it's
it.
It's on 20 times a day on every station, is the Law and Order... Whatever
Criminal
is,
intent.
With...
boom, boom.
Boom, boom. And he's just such a strange...
Oh, by the way, you notice no one called in to insult me, isn't that nice?
Oh. Well, actually, Ace ran off a string of expletives when I put it on the air. She says, Dave, I like
Don't
you.
Don't you even say that about my friend Ace. I love Ace.
Ace is the DJ who comes on
Ace
and does the gospel.
Ace is the woman with the helpful gospel
Hardware
tunes.
Man. Thank you.
The
helpful gospel tunes. Good. Good one. Thank you.
The new chef show where he comes in and kind of fixes up all the mistakes people make in the restaurant.
Oh, the restaurant thing, yeah.
It's like a Ramsay.
He's a great personality. He really is. It's just he can be wearying at times.
You're going to kill people!
But he makes good television, I have to say.
And actually, he's been doing a lot of work on Long Island. Almost all Long Island in Manhattan.
I did watch one episode. It was an Indian place that they were...
That was in Manhattan?
Yeah.
It was
I passed that place.
They had like three different things. He got rid of the big sign outside.
Yeah, well... Yeah, but apparently, no, but it was fun to watch because he really turned the guy he chose really turned the restaurant around. He was very happy. So that was fun to watch. Yeah,
he
like that.
He is very entertaining because he has a great accent, too.
That's the
You're
one.
You're going to kill people! You can't serve them! And he goes, this is disgusting!
It's the one reality show that I have kind of tuned into with real interest.
Well, you have to watch. Then I will remind you when Hell's Kitchen is on because you didn't see Hell's Kitchen. That's his reality show, par none, where he has.
I've seen episodes
about
of that.
12 contestants, and they get fired. But he is bleeped more times on TV than anyone I've ever heard. He get out of the bleeping kitchen!
He is so lucky that someone hasn't burned him with hot oil.
My favorite moment of his, though, was he went to one of the kids, the people who are trying to become the chef.
Yeah.
And they come over to him and goes, I've got something to tell you. And he goes over like he's a whisperer, and he goes, you can't cook!
Now, this is actually, I totally forgot to talk about this, and I'm glad we have a little bit of time. This is something I know we will want to talk about. Bad bosses.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we know what happened this week with that real estate mogul. I guess she was a mogul, certainly. Linda Stein.
Yeah.
Who was killed. She was bludgeoned to death. This was a major, major New York real estate
with
mogul
the,
icon.
Now what kind of stick was it?
It was a lacrosse thing?
No, it was, what's the yoga type thing they...
Oh, a yoga stick. She was bludgeoned to death with a yoga stick. I mean, that's the opposite of Zen. You take the yoga stick and you put it in your hand and you hold it and then you swing it.
And then you bash it.
You go behind the head and then you hit
and
then
you give
you
Linda. That'll give you Linda.
You must extend the arm all the way. All the way. No, go the arm all the way back and then extend and hit. And then extend and hit. But here's the thing. It's like, first of all, nobody knew when she was for like the first 48 hours, it was like, what the hell? How? What? It was.
Yeah.
It almost felt like that thing where that actress, Adrienne Shelley, got killed by that workman. And he's like, oh, God, who comes? What the hell's happening in New York again? It's turning to the 1970s, where it was unsafe for people to have any money or anything. So then, go figure, it's her personal assistant.
And what's hilarious is the personal assistant calls the cops because there are all these reporters outside the house. And somehow they get her to confess.
He didn't seem like the brightest bulb in the socket, you know. However, I will bet you dollars to donuts that, excuse my language, that Linda Stein was a bitch of a boss.
No problem.
I will bet you she was like the kind of boss who was satirized in the Nanny Diaries or in the Devil Wears Prada, that kind of thing. I mean, she just seemed like
She said she was getting emails. She said the woman said she was getting emails and she wasn't getting on fast enough or something.
I mean, that kind of stuff, you know?
Now, by the way, it was also a great 60 Minutes, which was on right before The Amazing Race, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. 60 Minutes did 60, a thing about that?
No, 60 Minutes did a thing about the new age of, like, the employees, the kind of employees that people are getting these days.
Yeah.
All the kids graduating from college are now these kids of the Millennium Children or something. I forget what they're called. It's like the Millennium Kids or something. Because, you know, they're 18 years old, and they were born, like, in the 90s. But so all these kids were brought up that you got... Remember, now all these people were brought up that they got a trophy just for participating. No matter what, you got to live in. They're always used to winning. Yeah. They're given everything they want. It was very interesting on how you have to treat them, like there's no more, you can't do the bad boy stuff, because they said these people go up and quit. Oh, no, but wait till you see the pandering that you have to do to them just to be nice to them.
I wish I had that from bosses over the years. I sure wish I'd been pandered
to. Some of it's nice, but it's like the sense of entitlement. You have to pander their sense of entitlement. Very interesting. I wish I taped it for you.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very interesting segment on 60 Minutes.
Hopefully, well, they'll repeat it since it would probably be first run, so I'm sure they'll run it again this summer.
On CBS.com, you could probably get it too.
Good point. But
so try and see that this week, Dave, because I'd love to discuss that with you next week. Because what they say is so interesting, you know, because they have two people on it who represent there's a whole industry popping up on how to manage these people.
Yeah.
And then there are two people who are in that group who wrote books about basically themselves. It's you know, when reality strikes, and it said, what was it? One guy's title of his book was great. It was called My Reality Check Bounced.
Nicely put. I don't know. I just, you know, I feel obviously that this poor Linda Stein did not deserve to be murdered.
No.
But I have felt that way. I felt on the verge at times of, well, let's see, I'm going to go home tonight after work, and then tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, I'm going to shower, and then I'm going to kill.
I didn't know you worked for the Postal Service.
I felt postal about two or three or four of the bosses in my life.
Yes.
I didn't do it, but I mean, I know where that's coming from.
Oh, absolutely. But one must control their urges.
I know. Then again, I don't think any of my bosses had yoga sticks. Because honestly, if there had been a yoga stick lying around once or twice in a couple of the bosses I dealt with, they would have at least been missing an eye or two by the time I got through with them. It would be over so quickly, just in one of these blind flashes of rage that I have. It would just be like hockey stick taking out the retina right there, you know? I'm quelling even just at the thought of it. The fantasy of a particular boss I have in my mind with a yoga stick going through his cranium is just putting a smile on my face right now. And it's been years, and I still feel it.
No, David.
I know. I take a long time to get over things. I don't need sexual fantasies. I just have murderous fantasies of killing bosses. Good burp, Jeff.
It was a real burp, too.
Yeah. Yeah, good one.
You know, that Wendy's, she really packed the punch.
Oh, I know. I felt so bad. I was on the air doing some fill time earlier this evening, and just before, I wolfed down. It was very, very tasty at the local Stop and Shop. They had this pasta. All you had to do was reheat it, and it had pasta and sausage in it. It was nummy. Just put it in the microwave, 3 minutes, boom,
who
there it is.
That?
Huh?
Who makes that? Maybe they should be they should take an ad because you like them.
Well, it was very good, except for the fact that it was sausage, and he ate it rather quickly, and it was right before I was going on the air. So the entire time when I was talking, there was like this burp that was lodged somewhere between my shoulders and my chin and would not release. I was just going talking like this, and I kept waiting for the burp to emerge. As soon as I got off mic, turned on the music, bam, it was beautiful. It was a fabulous burp. I was so sorry I couldn't share it with my listeners. Oh, well. Oh, well. By the way, it's 12:45 in the morning on this November 12th. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I'm here with Jeff Goodman. We're doing Dave's Gone By Overtime, and gospel will start fairly soon, pretty soon. So we're just doing some news.
Can we sing a little bit for them?
Can we sing?
Let's sing about Jesus.
All right. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, and Jesus love me.
But Dave, you're Jewish.
Well, actually, I'm talking about Jesus. He washes cars in our local car wash.
Oh, okay.
But I pronounce it Jesus, just to be different. I can love him. I don't have to believe in him. So there.
Okay.
Well,
you believe he existed.
I'm not sure. I mean, the whole Bible could be technically just myths. But we don't have to get into that very gospel time.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's see.
Sorry, Ace, I know you're listening. So I'm sorry, open that can of worms.
That's okay. She's probably the only one listening at this hour, but...
No, she is. There's a lot of people, you know, all the people. They say, yeah. Remember we put them all on
true.
The air? They say,
that's true. Well, we're
there's
already...
tons of people listening to this radio station. Dave?
You're right.
Isn't that what you told me last week? Lots and lots of people listening.
Well, yes, like 11 o'clock, not 12:46, but maybe at 12:46 also, yes.
If there were only, say, 5% of the millions who were listening at 11.
Yeah.
Then that's
still a few thousand people. Right. So, hey, a few thousand people, and I hope you like my little song. So, shall we do news of the odd?
Yes.
We gotta do something.
This
so
is odd news.
Odd news here on Dave's Gone By Overtime. Man forgets car at gas station. A German man forgot his car after filling up at a petrol station in Berlin. He just forgot about it and walked off home, said a spokesperson.
Did he pay for the gas?
I guess. After the car had sat blocking the pump for about an hour, a woman working at the petrol station became suspicious. That's funny. He came straight back to fetch the vehicle. And he had paid to do it before he walked off. So he remembered to pay. He just didn't remember to take the car.
So he didn't fill up either.
He did, well, yeah.
Well, he had to pay and then fill.
So, yeah. Well, that happens to me at the supermarket. I will buy the groceries, and I'll take most of the bags, and I'll start walking out, and I'll forget, like, half the groceries that are still at the end of the thing.
Oh, which reminds me, yesterday.
Yeah.
You just reminded me about my Wendy's little visit yesterday.
What happened?
We had the nastiest little Wendy's person to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I ordered, the people who were working for me, their meals, and I got all the meals, and she gives you stuff on trays and says, there.
Yeah.
And I took it, and all of a sudden I realized that she forgot to put my Frosty on the tray. So I came back, and I said, I've got to go ask her. And she was gone, and I said, the woman before us forgot to give me a Frosty.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and then, of course, she came back. And you know what she told me?
What?
I thought you didn't want it. I said, why would I order it then?
And pay for it.
Yeah.
If you didn't, what gave her that?
It's like, she was just so nasty. No, I'm sorry. Oh, Ace is here, by the way.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And she was just so nasty about it. Oh, I thought you didn't want it. And I said, wait a second. Why would I order it and stuff like that? And, I don't know, it was just crazy. And she was like the nastiest little thing.
Well, did you complain? Did you ask for a manager or something like that?
Yes.
You should have taken the frosting and thrown it at her.
Really? I mean, what would Dave Thomas say?
Well...
The guy from SCTV.
That Dave Thomas. I thought you meant the...
the founder of Wendy's.
Yeah. Oh, different team.
His name is Dave Thomas. No, he's dead. He died.
Thomas, yeah. Not the SCTV guy.
No.
He was... we haven't heard from him in a while. He was...
He's probably in the cold white north.
Yeah, great white north. But... Yeah, I'm sure he's been doing cameos and stuff, or maybe he's been directing a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Let's see, other news of the weird.
And by the way, is Mako still alive? Did he die?
No, thank you. Mako died. Is it Mako or Mako?
I don't know.
He died a couple of months ago.
It was recently, right?
Yeah. So, how did we get to that?
I was just thinking about that when we were talking about Miss Saigon. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
I kind of felt at some point I'll ask you.
Yeah, he died recently. So there. As does this show. Well, that's a good show killer right there. Perfect timing, though, because
we
do have to wrap
up. Well, tell us one bit of weird news that you wanted to say, and then let me get
actually,
out of
here. Even the weird news is kind of lame, so let's just wrap it up. Woo! I'm Dave Lefkowitz.
I'm Jeff Goodman.
We'll be back next Sunday, November 18th, with a 247th...
Well, no, we won't.
Well, you won't be here, and I'll be in San Francisco, but it will not be a repeat. It will be a new episode.
Part two of Lesbians on Fire.
Yeah, if only. Part two with Athena Reich, singer-songwriter, and also Rabbi Saul Solomon will be doing a special Thanksgiving presentation. This is... Well, wait, oh, no, we'll be back next Sunday, so until then, don't
Dave
miss...
Dave lost his place.
I'm tired. We've been on, like, 51 minutes overtime here. So,
and you go complain about it.
Not at all. I'm thrilled.
Loved every second of it.
Not every second. There were times when you opened your mouth when I wasn't so happy.
There were times when you shut off my microphone and I was going to kill you.
Exactly. So there we go. But we worked it out, and we had a lot of fun, and I hope you had fun, too, everybody. Remember... New episode next week. It'll be Athena Reich, the rabbi. And thanks for nobody calling and insulting Jeff. You just make me have to do it all myself. We'll be back next Sunday. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Don't forget to write.
Thanks for not insulting me and gone by.
Two hockey stick fever, children wide open.